Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the theater here at Madison Square Garden. I'm Bob Papa, obviously, and that is two-time Super Bowl champion David Diehl.
Thank you.
We want to welcome you to the Giants' second annual town hall presented by New York Presbyterian. Amazing things are happening here this evening. This is a rare opportunity for you, the season ticket holders, and loyal Giants fans, generations of Giants fans, to hear from the general manager, Jerry Reese, to hear from new head coach, Ben McAdoo, hear from some of the players, and you have an opportunity to step up and ask some questions. We've redesigned the program between this year and last year based on your input. So when we send you those surveys and you get that email and we ask you, you know, what do you think we could do better? How can we make it better for you? Your input has created tonight's program. So I want to thank all of you for taking the time to respond and do that. David, exciting time, isn't it?
This is an unbelievable time. Number one, I've been able to have two unreal experiences coming back to New York City, winning Super Bowl 42 and 46 and getting standing ovations by Rangers fans and by Knicks fans. But this is a dream come true because here we are talking Giants football. We're right in the midst of it. OTAs are taking place right now. Minicamp is going to be here before we know it. And this is where this team and the 2016 New York Giants find their identity.
This is it. Madison Square Garden, the theater at the Garden, the world's most famous arena. And you've got one of the flagship franchises of the National Football League. And you can be proud of the four-time Super Bowl champion New York Football Giants, getting ready for season number 92.
92, Bob Papa.
So, here's how we want to get things started, get you all fired up. We've got a video for you that symbolizes what the New York Giants are all about. It's 2016, Giants Pride. Well, you can feel the energy, you can feel the passion, and we'd like to bring up our first two guests here to the stage tonight to talk about the 2016 New York Football Giants. This man is the architect of Super Bowls 42 and 46, the Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Giants, Mr. Jerry Reese. Hi, Jerry. And also joining us here on stage, he is the new head coach of the New York Football Giants, Ben McAdoo. Coach, welcome. So, Jerry, we'll start with you. Question number one. Obviously, you've gone through the free agency period, figuring out the roster, the draft, undrafted free agents. Talk about some of the challenges that you face here over the next couple months getting ready for training camp and some of the things that you're still eyeing as a football team.
Well, Bob, the first thing, you know, that's on my mind is, you know, getting everybody healthy going into training camp, you know, and notably first, Victor Cruz, you know, we're trying to get him back. Yeah. And, you know, it's a new regime, you know, new schemes, some new coaches. The thing that stands out to me the most right now is the positive energy. There's a lot of energy around the practice facility. Out on the field doing OTAs. I see all the positive energy out there. I'm excited about that. But number one, I want everybody to be healthy going into training camp.
Now, Coach McAdoo, this is your first time as a head coach holding OTAs, making a schedule, getting this football team and this program where you want it to be. Talk a little bit about the challenges that you face during these OTAs in the minicamp in regards to scheduling. We all know the X's and O's stuff, but I remember having an interview and sitting down with Romeo Crennel and him saying, as a head coach, you have to worry about what colors they're going to paint in the building. So just talk about now moving forward as a head coach and what you feel right now is the best thing happening for the New York Giants.
Well, right now we're keeping the main thing the main thing. It's about the football right now. There are some, you know, restrictions what you can do with your time, and we're trying to be as smart as we can with our time. Right now we can put in about 6 hours a day. So we're trying to stick and move as we get into the building, whether it's in the meeting room, whether it's on the field or in the weight room, and trying to keep these guys thinking on their feet and you know, maximizing their time that way.
Before we get to some more questions, for any fans that want to ask Jerry and Coach McAdoo questions, we have microphones in the corner, so if you want to go line up, we will have someone there to have a mic. So I would encourage you to line up now if you have some questions. Jerry, you know, you look at this football team, and you've got a two-time winning Super Bowl champion quarterback in mm-hmm. Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. You've added some nice pieces around. When you look at the potential of this football team, you look at kind of what the record was last year, and you look at the way some of the games unfolded, you have to feel pretty positive about the pieces that are in place when you had the disappointments that you had. It's not like you got blown out in a lot of games. You were right there for them.
Yeah, I think there's the positive energy is first thing. You know, we got Eli Manning coming back. That's, you know, two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback. And it's about all three units. It's about offense, defense, and special teams. You know, offensively, for me, I think we got to run the ball a little bit better at the end of the game to close some games out. Defensively, you got to, you know, rush the passer at the end of the game, make some stops. We've got some secondary guys that can help us do that as well. And special teams, you got to be solid on special teams. I feel good about all three units right now.
Coach McAdoo, you've had now the guys out to practice. You're starting to see some of the young guys come in, as whether they were free agents or a draft pick. Talk a little bit about some of the players that are right now catching your eye, standing out, that maybe some of the fans don't know about.
Well, right now the guys are they're jockeying for reps in training camp and in the preseason games. It's tough to single anyone out in particular. You're going to see a couple young guys coming out here, and Eli Apple and Sterling Shepard. They'll be out here in a little bit. They're doing a nice job. They're competing against each other. Just to name a couple, but there are a couple high draft picks for us, men of character, and they're doing a nice job picking up the systems and definitely have caught our eye.
All right, we'll open it up to some of our fans' questions, and let's start to my left. Just state your name and where you're from.
Scott from Wayne, New Jersey. Coach McAdoo, congratulations on the new job. I have a question for you specifically. So the biggest mistake that I see coaches make, experienced or inexperienced, has to do with time management, end of game, end of half, timeouts, et cetera, et cetera. Have you done anything special to prepare for that? And I was just curious what your process would be. I thought I read somewhere that you're going to have six people, which seems like four too many to me. But I just was curious as to how you're prepping for the unusual situations that come up as relates to time management.
First of all, Wayne, New Jersey is a great place to live. So
yes, it is.
Let's give a little round of applause for Wayne. But we have a team, a game management team put together, and we're spending time right now going through the some situations at the end of games. Starting back, we have a few that happened in the early 90s that we're hitting, and we're working our way up to current date. But we'll have a plan in place. And
every game you
not every game, but every one that's had an interesting ending, something we can study, something we can learn from, and employ going forward.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Wow. Scott was first. Scott has been coming and asking Giants head coaches questions since Bill Parcells was the head coach at Manny's. The show that the
he wasn't the quarterback show. Sneak guy, was he?
Good one. That's it. John, we got another question on that side?
How you doing? I'm Joe from Totowa. My question is, can you describe to me what was going on in the war room during the draft? Ronnie Staley got picked. Conklin got picked. I don't know if that was the direction you were going in. And then the Bears trade up for Floyd. What was your reaction at that point, and what was going through your minds? It's really for both of you.
Well, first of all, you know, we had talked out the situation, what could possibly happen. You know, we were picking 10. What could possibly happen? We had talked to a couple of teams about moving back. We didn't think there was anybody that we wanted to move up for. It cost too much to move up. But we talked about the situation, everything that happened, and we felt like those guys that you named would come off the board pretty quickly, and they did. And, you know, Eli Apple was right there where we expected him to be, and we did get a call to move back, but it was too far to go back, you know. The draft is about, you know, if you lose 10 games, you're supposed to pick high in the draft, and you don't waste your high pick moving back. So you get the best player that you can get, And we had Eli ranked very high up there, and we were excited to get him. And we got a clean player. He's going to be a heck of a football player for a long time for the New York Giants.
Any thoughts on Tunsil?
There were some thoughts on Tunsil, yeah. We thought he was a really good football player, and, obviously there were some situations that happened with him, but where we picked, we wanted to get a nice, clean player that we knew could help our football team. It was a value pick. We had him ranked up there high, and it was a need pick for us as well, so that was an easy pick for us, and we're very excited and happy to have him with the New York Giants.
Thanks for the question. Let's go. Let's go to this side.
How are we doing? I'm John from Glens Falls, New York, just north of Albany. We love coming down to see. We love coming down to see you guys.
I think I'm sweating on stage now.
But I gotta ask. I mean, we had some new facilities. I know you guys got a great facility. Any chances you'll be coming back to Albany for training camp again?
Well, you need to speak to John Mayer about that. That's above my pay grade right there.
That's fair. I won't ask Jeremy Shockey. I know that.
Right. Hey, we did have a nice time up there. Going up to Albany, but the facilities we have is more practical and for our coaches and our players. And the time we spent in Albany was a great time for us.
We'll come down to see us.
From a player's perspective, we loved it. We loved coming down to Albany. It's strictly about football. It was getting away, putting yourself in the dorm rooms at Freedom Quad, spending quality time together. And like I said, that was a time, during the ups or the downs, that was a time that you really came together as a football team and you really felt the love from the fans. So thank you.
Back to John's side.
Ben, what was going through your mind when you got the contract to be head coach?
I couldn't shake John Mayer's hand fast enough. I about ripped his arm out of socket. It's something you work for your whole professional life. You dream of since you're a kid, since you started playing. And it's an excellent opportunity in an outstanding organization, surrounded and filled with great people. And exciting time. Thank you.
That's a fourth-generation Giants season ticket holder right there. To this side.
I'm John from Westchester, New York. And I know I'm not the only Giants fan who's been pretty frustrated with the injuries the past few years. So I was just wondering if you guys are I know it's not your guys' fault, but I'm just wondering if there's anything this offseason, like in particular, you guys are trying to change up to cut down on the injuries.
Ben, you want to take that?
Yeah, we have a plan in place to take care of the injuries. You can't point to one specific thing for injuries. It's a variety of things. But the way we're going to build players up, acclimate them to the workload, the way we're going to work them on the field and then bring them back down with the mental reps on the field is one way we're going to handle it there. We're going to address some things pre-practice and make sure we take our time with some static and dynamic warm-up to make sure they're ready to go early on in the practice session. We put a lot of resources into the strength and conditioning program, and we expect that that's going to pay dividends for us as well. We're not scared of technology. We're going to embrace it, and that's going to play a factor in it. And, the players seem to be buying in. They're excited, and, it's early on, but we feel we've made some strides there.
Thank you.
To this side.
I'm Eric from Yonkers, New York. My question's for Mr. Reese. In your opinion, how do you think player development will be different under Mr. McAdoo than some other head coaches, particularly in the later rounds? Is he more of a risk taker? Is he different in some ways? What do you think?
Well, player development is what it is. You have to develop players. You can go out in free agency. You can get, you can fix some things with free agency. But in this league, you have to develop players. And when I say develop players, players you pick in the mid to late rounds, you have to give those guys a chance to fail, and you have to develop guys. And Ben has a great attitude about that. Here are the guys we drafted. We like these guys. Everybody's on board. Let's get these guys in. Let's develop some good players that can be on our football team and build depth on our roster for a long time. He's got a great attitude about that.
Yeah, it's my job to create the environment that inspires teaching and learning. And communication is a two-way street in today's league. And a lot of energy and resources go into developing players, and we have players who want to be developed, and we look forward to that process.
Yeah, just a guy like Will Tye last year. and the way he developed. I mean, he had the most catches of any rookie tight end in the entire NFL.
Yeah,
so.
Will Tye is a perfect example of, you know, a guy that, you know, on the practice squad and we brought up and, you know, late in the season, he you know, caught fire there and did some nice things. He's looking good in practice so far, and, you know, it's a lot of competition at that position. That's another thing about our roster, you know. We're trying to create a lot of competition at every position, you know, at running back, you know, at the receiver group, at the tight end, the offensive line, the defensive line. So I think that makes your football team a lot better when you can create a lot of competition and guys, you know, fighting for their position and fighting for a roster spot. So far, we got a lot of guys at different positions fighting for jobs.
Coach, when you address the football team now to start the OTAs in this offseason program, what was the message that you wanted to start them off with to let them know this is the direction that our football team is going to be going in?
Well, the offseason isn't as much about building a team and building your roster. The offseason is more for individual improvement and learning the systems and working well together. We'll have a chance to jockey for and compete for jobs and build a team when we get to training camp and into preseason games. This isn't the time for it. They're running around right now trying to learn the systems, learn the fundamentals, and we have to work together to do that.
To the side.
Hi, I'm Perry from New York City. Mr. Reese, first of all, thanks for the championships.
Thank you for the support.
Question that me and my friends keep asking ourselves is, you know, why didn't we do more in the offseason to upgrade the offensive line? At this stage of the game, you know, what do you think we can do?
Well, we want to upgrade the roster at every position, not just the offensive line. You know, we've invested a lot of resources in the offensive line the last couple, 2 or 3 years with, you know, Richburg and Pugh and Flowers. And again, that's part of, you know, if you spend all your top picks on offensive linemen, you got to have some receivers. You got to have some defensive backs. You got to have some more premium players. You got to have some pass rushers, okay? Somebody has to play, you know. Somebody has to come out of the shadows and develop. And look at the offensive linemen from the past two Super Bowl teams, you know, they played in the Super Bowl. You know, nobody has, you know, five first-round offensive linemen. You got to have some late-round guys, some veteran guys. And we have a couple veteran guys, and we have some on the roster that played last year that we like. A lot of continuity with the offensive line going into the season. There's some young players that we like as well, going to compete for some jobs on the offensive line. And we're still looking for offensive line. We never stop looking to upgrade our roster. But again, you just can't, in a draft, if the guy doesn't fit what you're trying to do and it doesn't have the value, you can't just draft a guy just to draft him, just say, well, we drafted an offensive lineman. That's not how it works. But we'll continue to try to upgrade the offensive line at every position as well. That's a great question.
Thank you so much. We're going to keep it on Mike's side. That's another fourth generation.
I'm Jake from Westchester, New York. What do you expect out of your rookies this year?
Coach, you take Jake's question?
Well, we have a young class of rookies. We don't expect them all to be ready to jump out of the gate and contribute at a high level initially, but what we do expect them to do is put their head down, keep on working, and improve as the season goes on, and when their number's called, to be able to respond and help the team win. It's not where you start, it's where you finish.
Great question. Another fourth-generation Giants season ticket holder right there. Let's go to John's side.
Hi, Dan from Long Island. I was told I'm not allowed to come here unless I ask this question. So, Mr. Reese, it may not be your question in the field, but I was told, Harry Carson, why is he not retired and being one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL history? Why is he not on the Ring of Honor? And then, Mr. McAdoo, if you don't mind both, with the linebacking core, that being the trend, same question with the offensive line, you know, addressing that, and how do you feel with the linebackers that you have now? Going forward, how do you address that and those pass rushers that you're looking for?
All right, so I'll just take the first part. Harry was in the original class of Ring of Honor Giants. So Harry is in the Ring of Honor. His jersey number is not retired.
I'm sorry.
I think some of that is really a function of numbers. You know, the NFL has, it's not like college where you could see a linebacker wearing number 2 and a defensive end wears number 6. The NFL has specified number groups that different positions have to wear. So if you start ticking off numbers, the game is going to continue another 50 years from now. You will run out of numbers. So I think that's where the Ring of Honor comes in. And I think when teams were retiring a lot of numbers in the 40s and the 50s, I mean, look at the Yankees. They don't have a single-digit number left. And they may play, you know, well, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, the United States is going to be around for a long time and the NFL is going to be around for a long time. So you got to protect the position numbers. And that's why the Ring of Honor is there.
Perfect example of that is the Chicago Bears. I think they have 16 or 17 numbers retired. I mean, offensive linemen, you only have a select amount of numbers that you can pick from. So that's why you saw Olin Krutz wearing a 50 number, because they didn't have any other numbers left.
All right, so, Jerry, you want to answer the question?
Well, I think you asked about the linebackers. You know, we have a nice group of linebackers. I think as strong as we've been for a while at that linebacker core. You know, we drafted a linebacker. We had a couple of free agents from last year's class. We brought in a couple of free agents this time. So we have some depth at that position, we think, now. And it's going to be a lot of competition. Some guys who can really play the position there. And it's a tough position to get. You know, people think we don't like linebackers. We want Harry Carson. I wish Harry could come back and play some more. But Harry Carson just not walking around anywhere. You know, he's a Hall of Fame linebacker. So we try our best to get the best linebackers that we can. We have a nice group. We're excited about them.
Yeah, it's a position that has a lot of energy on the field, and there's a lot of competition going on.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And you can see Harry Carson every week on Giants First and 10 on MSG Network. you can't miss that. Jerry, Coach McAdoo, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know you got mini camp next week, and good luck this season.
All right, guys. Thank you, Beth.
Senior Vice President and General Manager Jerry Reese and Head Coach Ben McAdoo. We still have a lot more to come. We got some new Giants, guys who the Giants brought in via free agency. You're going to see some rookies. You're going to see some guys that have won and performed at a high level with the New York Giants. But keep lining up, because what we're going to do right now is we're going to welcome in the coordinators. So if you have questions about offense, defense, special teams, this is where you need to be. I'd like to first introduce the Giants defensive coordinator once again, Steve Spagnuolo. The offensive coordinator for the 2016 New York Football Giants, Coach Mike Sullivan. All right, Sully. Grab a mic. And the special teams coordinator for the New York Giants, Coach Tom Quinn. All right, so Coach Spags, I'll start with you. Obviously, you had to have a bright smile on your face this offseason when Jerry and ownership went out and decided that they were going to address some needs. Talk about the challenge of now trying to blend new players, new faces with the existing players and become a cohesive unit.
Well, it's a challenge, obviously, we're going to enjoy.
Yes.
Because it's always nice to have the pieces. And look, at the guys that we brought in, I think, Bob, will mesh really well with the ones that we've obviously currently have on the roster. Now, the trick of that is to get used to, you know, who can do what, you know, how they're going to complement each other, and that's kind of what we're going through right now. I mean, we're entering into OTA number 9 on Thursday, so we've had really 8 days or 8 practices. It takes a little bit of time, and until you can get into what I call real football, we won't really know. I mean, obviously, we're just in helmets, and especially on defense. Obviously, you got to get into pads and find out what they can really do. But we're really, really excited about it. Feel very fortunate to have the guys here.
Coach Sullivan.
David Deal.
Woos. So, Coach, offensive coordinator of the New York Giants, here we are into OTAs, like Coach Spag said, 8, 9 practices in. You know, just talk about now the offense's ability to take this to the next level. Having been in the system now for over 2 years, having that comfort, having Eli Manning directing this offense, just talk about the direction that this offense is going into because of the fact that you can add so many more things to it this season.
Well, the third year in the system now for Eli, we really challenged him to take that next step and really lead the entire offense in trying to achieve a level of mastery. You know, we're trying to pinpoint those areas that have been weaknesses for us, but then really tailor the schemes, both in the run game and the pass game, to the personnel that we have. And I'm really excited. Just like Spag said, we'll look forward to getting out there with real football, but so far, so good.
Coach Quinn, obviously one of the fastest ways for rookies, draft picks or rookie free agents, to make a football team is to excel on your units. What are some of the things that have jumped out at you as far as some of the new players that have come in that really have caught your eye as far as how they may potentially help you in different areas?
This rookie class is really smart. That's one thing, and they're really diligent about studying and paying attention to the details. So I think there's a lot of upside, and they usually got to come through me before they get to the offense or defense. Their first playing experiences, usually on special teams. And I tell them, good players are good players. Some of the best players I've had, that we've had here, have started with special teams, and they earned their way to be an offensive and defensive starter.
Remember JPP running down there on
2010? He was snubbed from the Pro Bowl.
He was a beast.
2010, JPP was absolutely unstoppable on the kickoff team. If you guys go back and watch film, they would put two guys on him, they would put three guys on him, and he would run right through the wall and make the tackle. Dave Tollison and the rest of the guys could not be more excited because he was getting triple teamed, and they were running right through. It was unbelievable to see that. But, as you say in football, all hands on deck. You only have, you know, 48 guys out on the field game day, so you got to roll. Coach Sullivan, we have to tell a story here. 2007 season, Super Bowl 42, but it was actually 2008 in January. We were playing in Tampa Bay. Coach Sullivan here is a former and still, I shouldn't say former, he is an Army Ranger. So Coach Sullivan still is a big fan of, and still does, mixed martial arts, UFC. So we would always talk about offensive linemen, defensive linemen in the trenches, ground and pound. And he would come over, and above everybody, he would say something. But he and I would always go, oos, before he came over. So I didn't see Coach Sullivan coming over in pregame. And we're doing the hamstring stretch. And I go to stretch my right hamstring. And he goes right over. And I drop kick Coach Sullivan in the forehead.
Right here.
And
boom.
I'm not talking just soft. I mean, I am giving it everything I have. And I see him, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Coach Sullivan, I get off of stretching. I'm grabbing him. And he's kind of woozy. And I'm like, Coach, it doesn't look that bad. I mean, he already has a welt on his head. We're 3 seconds after. So sure enough, we come in at halftime. Coach Sullivan's walking in. He has a Diet Coke held against his forehead for the rest of the game. So that was definitely one of the great stories that we had on the road. But
and the reason I'm sitting way over here, I don't want to get kicked again. So.
But going back to those experiences, you know, talk about, you know, everything that you've gone through. I mean, you've started as an assistant and worked your way, quarterbacks, tight ends, wide receivers. You've done everything now to get to the point where you are the offensive coordinator, which was your dream come true. Just talk about the things that you wanted to bring, that you've gone along throughout your entire life, that you wanted to implement into an offense like you are now.
Well, I've been very, very blessed. And some of the experiences that I was able to have in the military, in the Army, and then becoming a coach, and some of the excellent teachers, some of the role models, and I learned a great deal from both former Army officers and coaches as well, and just have tried to lead by example, tried to do the things that are going to help the players not just be the best that they can be, but give them that little added motivation, like you said. And sometimes it means you get kicked in the head by a big offensive lineman, and that hurts a lot. But all joking aside, I feel very, very honored and grateful to be here and excited about the Giants this upcoming season, and really thrilled to be here. Thank you.
All right, let's take some questions from our audience here. I know a lot of people are lined up and want to go, so we'll start on John's side.
How you doing? Joey from Staten Island?
Go no Big way. Blue. No way.
No, really?
Joey from Staten
Brooklyn
Island, get out of here.
The same difference. But this question's for Coach Spags. Should we expect significant improvement in our linebacking core, and will we see B.J. Goodson early?
Yeah, I do expect significant improvement. And look, that's what you're striving for every year. We got a lot of competition at the linebacker spot, which I think is what you want to develop at all the positions. And we're looking forward to see how that unwinds. BJ, you know, like all rookies, there's a learning curve. I don't want to put too much pressure on one guy, but he's been impressive with regards to picking up the volume of the defenses we put in so far. And look, he was real productive in college. He's a good football player. We're anxious to see what he can do. But I like the mix of players there and the competition that I think we've created.
Awesome. Thank you.
You got it.
I kind of want to piggyback on that because I'm sure some fans are going to ask. Now, since you've been in more systems, you know, going to Baltimore, running a 3-4, you know, your normal typical 4-3 over-unders that you like to run, you know, are we going to see more spread-out defenses to create one-on-one matchups for pass rushers?
Well, I mean, you know, going back to Bob originally with the guys we brought in, we want to develop some one-on-ones. I mean, we feel we'll have some advantages against certain teams. A little bit, obviously, is dictated with what offenses are going to do against it. You get the three wides, the four wides, the two tight ends. But, look, we've always believed in here in being multiple. And the more multiple we can be, the more confusing we hope it is for the quarterbacks. And I think he can find some advantages there. So, I mean, we'll tread lightly. We'll learn the people that we have. And the more we can put on, I think the better we'll be.
All right, back to the questions. To this side, Mike's side.
Yeah, hi. Stuart from Wantua. Coach Sullivan, obviously the blueprint of the offense is going to continue with what Coach McAdoo brought in. What modifications do you plan on making to the offense that we're going to possibly see during the season?
Well, Stuart, right now we spent the offseason studying ourselves but also researching other teams that may have been similar to us and maybe had some of the ideas we'd like to copy or make our own, if you will. And there are going to be some tweaks and modifications, as you've said, but really it just comes down to trying to get the ball in the playmakers' hands, and we all know who those guys are, and we have to find ways to be imaginative, to whether it's formation or personnel grouping, et cetera. So we're going to continue to expand upon that and just do what we've been doing, but take it to the next level and do it even better.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
To John's side.
Hi, I'm John from Long Island. I was a question for Mr. Quinn. How does the implementation of the new touchback rule in the NFL affect your game plan, both on kickoffs and kick returns?
That rule now is the touchbacks will come out to the 25, and that's pretty significant. It used to be the 20. And our drive start on kickoff was about 21-9 for the last 5 years, and drive start kickoff return was 22-9. So there's some field position. So we're going to take it game by game, what's the best thing for, you know, our team on that day. But, you know, heading in, I think we're going to kick and let our guys cover, you know, and try and create some great field position for our team.
Really
Coach
good
Quinn.
Question. Let's go to this side.
Hi, Mary Jo from West Orange, New Jersey. How are you?
West Orange.
Big Giants fan, yes. Coach Quinn, what are your plans and for the special teams units this year?
We want to build on the success we had last year, and you got to implement the new players in. And so that's the number one thing we're doing right now in the spring. And then you know, working with Brad Wing to become a little more consistent with his direction. He's really had a good spring, so we're anxious to see that, you know, come to fruition in the fall. And then get Dwayne Harris on a little bit more of the coverage teams.
That's what I was going to ask,
yes,
and follow up. You've got to be excited now with the depth at wide receiver to have Dwayne Harris returning kicks and being able to do what he was brought into the New York Giants to do.
Yeah, he's probably one of the premier gunners and kickoff coverage guys in the league, and we didn't get to use him that much last year because of his offensive play time. So we're excited to get him back, and he's excited to get back to doing what he does best.
Back to John's side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Miguel from Bluefield, New Jersey. Question is for Coach Spagnuolo. Coach, that Super Bowl 42 defensive performance was a thing of beauty, so thank you for that. And my question is, how's your philosophy changed over the years, if at all, and do you think that you have the personnel in place to enact a similar defensive scheme to that 2007 season, or is it going to be a little bit different?
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't changed philosophically, but it does come back to the players that you do have. We feel real good about the guys that we have. Look, at every season kind of stands on its own. It's different players, and I do believe, I appreciate the compliment, but I do believe that it is all about players. I mean, we had a great game that day because of what the players did, in my opinion. And it's hard to replace the guys like Michael Strahan and Osi and Justin Tuck and whatnot, but we feel like we have guys that, if you can gel together, we can have pretty good defense. And I remember, I think it was Red Auerbach that said one time, is it's not the getting the five best players out there, it's about getting the five players who can play the best together. So if we can find the 11 guys that play the best together, that's what we'll do. If it's exotic and it's multiple, it'll be that. If it's playing one defense and we're winning just playing one defense, we'll do that too. The result is the most important thing.
Good question. To the side.
Hey, guys. I'm TJ from Rockaway, New York. This question is for... Rockaway. This question is for Coach Sullivan. That one guy. Thank you. It's been a while since we've had a real consistent run game, whether it's one bell cow or three guys sharing the load like Ward, Jacobs, and Bradshaw. What are we going to be doing in the next year or two to kind of get the run game going? I know it's become a passing league, but we're the Giants. We run the football. And a quick one for David Deal.
David Tyree.
Hang on. There's a point. I know it looks, and actually you embody it, which is why I mentioned Tyree. It looks like we're bringing a lot of fan favorites like yourself and Tyree back. When are we bringing Jared Lorenzen back?
I will say, and I'll answer that real quick. We were actually talking today about Jared Lorenzen because Eli Manning in my entire 11-year career played 164 games, protected him throughout the entire time. We ran one quarterback sneak with Eli Manning, and we scored a touchdown in 05 in Philadelphia. It was not called from the sidelines. Eli checked it at the line of scrimmage, and we scored. 2006, we go back. In comes the hefty lefty. We had three quarterback sneaks. They went for 9.5 yards because they could not bring them down. So, yeah.
But
TJ, make no mistake about it. We are committed to running the football, okay? I mean, that's something that and really there are three reasons for that. You know, number one, in the wind and the rain and those conditions where you can't throw the ball, you have to be functional. You have to be productive on offense. Number two, those big plays, those explosive passes that you get off of play action in our fake game, that's what sets those up. And number three, and I think David will really appreciate this, you know, those offensive linemen, it gives them a chance to tee off on the D-line and not always be pass setting, okay? So that kind of helps take some pressure off the pass game. So we have the commitment to the run game. We focused on a bunch of areas this spring. We're really excited about where it's going to be this fall.
I would put my name and vouch any day of the week for Coach Sullivan and his ability and wanting to run the football. So there's no doubt that he's going to do it.
Thanks for the question. John Stott.
Yes, I'm Mike Travers from Nutley, New Jersey. My question is for Coach Spags. But first, Coach Sullivan, I'd like to thank you for your service to the country.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Coach Spags, we've done a lot on the defensive line, and we look really good. I'm wondering this year with our secondary gel a little bit, are we going to be able to do some really aggressive blitz packages? You know, with the people we have in place now, I think we can be kind of scary with some blitz packages. What do you think?
I agree, Mike. I agree. I'm all for it. You got any you can draw up for me right now?
I'll try.
Take any and all ideas. By nature, we'd like to do as much of that as we can. You want to be smart about it. You want to have the right people to do it. But I do believe that with the guys that we have now and in dealing with it or in working with them in these eight practices, I think we'll have the mental aptitude to put enough in to challenge offenses, and we're looking forward to do that. You can email any of the really good ones, Mike.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Thanks, Coach.
All right, John, we'll keep it on your side.
This is a question for Mr. Sullivan, and I'm Terrence from Staten Island. Obviously, you've been in the Giants organization for a long time and have a good relationship with Eli, so that leads me to my question. Who's going to be calling the plays this year?
Wow. That's impressive.
Eli.
You know, I'm wondering which New York media members have put you up and slipped a $100 bill in your pocket to ask that question. You
know, Jimmy Olsen, he's the Cub reporter.
No question. There he is. Listen, rest assured, you know, there's a very close relationship that I have with Coach McAdoo, with the other offensive coaches. As we implement and put the game plan together, it's a collective process. You know, we're going through our drills right now in the spring. There's certain phases that I'm calling. There's certain phases that he's calling. I've been doing the scripting. Rest assured, we're going to do what's best to help the Giants win. And wherever that plays itself out, we'll find out come September 11th.
Wait, and one more question.
Oh, no.
He is a reporter.
We're about up with our time here, Bob.
David, I think you remember this. Are you the Coach Sullivan that brought in, like, Lieutenant Colonel Greg Gadsden?
Yes, he is.
Yes, I am. And, in fact, Colonel Gadsden, is going to be coming to our mini camp next week and watch practice on Wednesday. He's a true American hero, and we're honored and grateful that he's a big Giant fan. Thank you.
He went from reporter to then showing that he's really a Giant fan. That was well done. Last question from this side.
This is Sonny from Greenpoint, Brooklyn. This question's for Coach Spags. You learned a lot under the late, great Coach Jim Johnson. How similar is your system to his system in terms of aggressiveness, attacking, blitzing, and everything else? And do you see any similarities between the defense you have now and the defense he had years ago with the Eagles?
Yeah, there is some. I mean, the players, obviously, the names are different. I got a great deal of respect for Jim. I was blessed to work with him for 8 years down there in Philadelphia and learned a lot of football. And when I got here in 07, we certainly brought a lot of that with us. It's developed over the years. You know, the game's changed a little bit. Offenses have caught up to some of the exotic things we used to do back then. But as a foundation standpoint, yeah, a lot of it will still rest on what we did in those years and what Jim brought to football. No question.
Thank you for your question. All right, guys, I know that next week's an exciting week with minicamp, mandatory minicamp, and we appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts. Coach Spagnuolo, Coach Sullivan, Coach Quinn. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, Coach. Well done. All right, Coach. I'm proud of you Giant fans because, you know, it's offense, defense, special teams, and you guys actually had special teams questions, so that was very good.
They're people, you know, too, Bob. They're people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and you know what happens? When we're in the New York Presbyterian broadcast booth after the game and we get the calls from fans and they start, like, ripping the special teams, you know, where were you at the town hall when you could have asked Coach Quinn a question? All right, we talked with Jerry Reese and Coach McAdoo and Coach Quinn about the young players, the new players, and the Giants had a very productive draft, and a lot of talented players are going to be coming to the Giants this season to make this roster better and this team better. Let's take a look at the 2016 draft class. Giants draft class of 2016. So, you know, you can keep lining up because you're going to have a chance to ask some of the guys questions. We'll start with the first-round draft pick out of the Ohio State University, but by way of New Jersey, please welcome Eli Apple. And an outstanding and dynamic player that's going to help the Giants on the offensive side of the ball. From Oklahoma, wide receiver Sterling Shepard. All right. So, Big Apple, how's the adjustment been to the Big Apple?
It has been just a fun time, just getting to know the guys, you know, Sterling, getting around the other rookies and the veterans. It's been a great time just practicing. I'm excited.
So far, you guys have had practices, number 8, going on to number 9 in OTAs. I remember being in the same position as you were, out there trying to learn the offense, learn the defense. You got veterans running around. What was the moment for both of you that was the eye-opener that you thought to yourself, wow, this is the truth, this is the real thing, this is the NFL?
Am I up first?
Either one.
Well, I'll say the first time I covered Odell probably in practice, for sure. Yeah, I'll never forget that moment. Just he did a slant, and he 3 steps, came at me really fast and changed my life. But after that, you know, you just get a good feel of the speed of the game and just getting out there with everybody else, getting used to just playing with your teammates and getting used to the defense. That's the main thing, just getting used to the playbook and really studying every night and getting with the veterans just to learn everything.
Well, that's going to be the greatest tool for you is to learn from him. When I was a rookie, I was going up against Michael Strahan, OCU Manura. If you're going up against that stuff in practice, believe me, when you're out on the game field, it is much easier than you think.
Sure. What about for you, Sterling?
I'd definitely say the moment woke up for me. I caught a hitch, and I ran about 10 yards, and I was like, surely there's nobody behind me. And then I look behind me, it's JPP. I'm like, oh, I thought it was going to be like a DB or something, but that big guy's after me, so I'd definitely say that moment.
Wow, it's eye-opening. Sterling, you know, you come into a football team right now. that you get a chance to play with a quarterback that's a two-time Super Bowl MVP. I mean, sometimes guys come into the league and, you know, it's the quarterback situation's uncertain. Maybe it's a rotation of journeyman guys. How have you learned already from having Eli around? What are some of the ways that he's tried to help you?
A lot of ways. I mean, just trying to pick up the system right now. But he's a smart guy, smart quarterback. So, you know, just helping me with the little things right now and just trying to pick up the schemes is the main thing that he's been helping me with.
Coming from a program like Ohio State, like Oklahoma, entering the NFL, obviously it puts you a step ahead of other teams and other schools because of learning a pro-style offense or defense. What are the things that you love right now about being a New York Giant and about the defense and about the offense?
I would say just the coaches, just everybody, just the way they work. You could tell it's a top-notch organization, and they're about winning, and that's what I'm about too. So, I mean, I just can't wait for the season to start so we can just get on track.
Now, X's and O's wise, schematically, your defense, what is it about the defense that you love that plays to your strengths?
It's a versatile type of defense. Like, we could do a lot of different things, and we got a lot of good guys out there, very talented. So we could play man, zone, we could switch it up and come at you different type of ways. So I'm looking forward to it.
Go ahead, Sterling.
Yeah, you know, I'd say the same thing. The coaches and the players, it's just kind of like a family. And that's kind of what I'm coming from, so I'm kind of used to that. And X's and O's wise, you know, this is a team that loves to throw the ball. So for any receiver, you know, you want to be a team that likes to throw the ball, likes to air it out. So I feel like I landed in the perfect spot.
Let's turn it over to our season ticket holders and our fans here, and we'll start, John, on your side.
Thank you. I'm Josh from Morristown. This question here is for Eli. Eli, in the last couple of years, I think Giants fans have seen corners come and go and maybe have had a hard time sticking on the field and also maybe even been able to cover guys down the field. So is there something that you're working on coming into camp and coming into the league where you can stay focused and help the Giants contribute right away in an area where they really needed it?
Of course. I would say just my technique first and foremost. Of course, you want to get better as a player. You want to do everything the coaches tell you to do as far as just playing man and playing the right zones and different things like that. So I want to work on my technique, get in my playbook every day, and try to get on the same page as my coaches as fast as possible.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Way to go, Morristown. All right, from this side.
How are you? I'm Max from Brooklyn. My question is for Sterling. So as Giant fans, we haven't always had, like, the greatest offensive receivers until recent years, Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham. How do you feel about coexisting with them, and would you prefer to play the outside, the slot?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just here just to play whatever the coaches want me to do. I mean, I feel...
He's learned well as a rookie already.
I mean, hey, man. No, I'm open to anything. I played outside and inside in college, you know, all throughout my college career. So I'm comfortable with both. It's just a matter of what the coaches see me best at. And, you know, I'm just ready to contribute and help the team out.
We'll be rooting for you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. To this side.
Hey, I'm Brian from Yonkers, New York. I got a question for Eli Apple. Growing up in New Jersey, living just over an hour from MetLife Stadium, what does it mean to be a New York Giant to you, playing really close to home?
It really means the world. It's like a dream come true. Just to play in the NFL, of course, but to be a part of a great organization like the New York Giants and a team that I've been watching since I was a little kid, it's amazing, honestly. I can't really put into words. And to be close to home for once, you know, because when I was at Ohio State, I was very far, of course, and I had to drive 8 hours just to see my family. Now my family can come to the games, just it's an hour away, so that's just a blessing.
Thank you.
On this side?
It's kind of tough waiting all this time. I had questions for the coaches, for the owners. But anyway, Murph from Mawa, section 116, row 23, third generation.
Hey, I'm 116, too. You got a better row than me.
We got to get together for a beer.
Well, I'm in the New York Presbyterian broadcast booth. You can see my kids.
So, Bob, David, thank you so much for hosting the event. Eli, Sterling, awesome. I just want to say, how cool is it that you guys were drafted by the finest NFL franchise in the States? How cool is that? The history. You know, I mean, you got to have goosebumps.
No, yeah, I mean, that's been a moment that I've been waiting on since I was a little kid. And to be drafted by the New York Giants, you know, it was a blessing. And I'm glad to be here. I'm happy. I'm ready to get it started.
Thank you so much.
It doesn't get any better. Thank you.
Thank you. To that side.
Hey, guys, how you doing? First of all, thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it. My name's Kevin. I'm from Spotswood, New Jersey. My question is for both Eli and for Sterling. Third down conversion rates have been an Achilles heel for this team for the past number of years. What are you guys seeing in the playbook and in OTAs, and what do you see upcoming for the training camp to focus on that for this year?
Yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, we've been doing a lot of third down sets, you know, trying to clean that up a bit, I guess. Coach Sullivan does a great job just drawing up plays, and I mean, that's something that we've been working on every day in practice is third down, so I see that cleaning up a lot this year.
Yeah, same here. We make a big emphasis about third down. It's a big deal to Coach Spags and everybody on the defense, and we really want to, like, you know, Sterling just said, clean that up a little bit and just make sure that we do everything we can do to keep the team from getting a first down, for sure.
Thank you.
You know, more so than in the playbook, you know what the answer is? They have better players now. I mean, they got pass rushers. They got a guy like Eli Apple is another corner. They got Sterling to help with conversions. You know, you heard Coach Spags say it before. He goes, you know, it's not necessarily about the scheme. It's about having players, and obviously that's why these guys were drafted, because they're going to help with the execution in those areas where it failed last year. So really good question. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This side.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'm 13, and I'm from Livingston, New Jersey. First off, this is a question for Eli. First off, I'd like to say, go Blue. We're fans of the University of Michigan.
Nice.
Both of my parents went there.
I apologize for that.
Welcome.
I apologize to you first, but okay.
Only in New York can you get, like, a jab from an actual season ticket holder.
And a kid, mind you. Yeah.
My question is, are you excited or scared to go up some of the best wide receivers in the league and cover them?
I'm definitely excited for it. This is a great opportunity, a moment I've been waiting all my life for. And just going against great receivers, I mean, that just excites me. That makes me just really, really just ecstatic, because you know you're going to get the best out of them and you want to get the best out of yourself, you know, and see how you fare against, you know, just the best. So, of course, that's going to be a big challenge, but I'm ready for it.
You guys need to, at some point, hug it out, though, between this.
Yeah, I'll see you after.
It's all one Blue now. It's Big Blue.
Uh-huh.
Forget about all that. That's history.
Go Blue.
There you go. To that side.
Hey, guys. I'm Adam from Queens. Welcome to New York. I have kind of a general question for both of you. Were there any other sports you really enjoyed before you committed to football? And what made you make the commitment? And when did you make that commitment?
I'd say basketball was kind of the thing that I loved in high school, but I kind of got away from it, just trying to focus on football. But, you know, I still get to play, like, recreational basketball. The guys in the locker room have been talking about going to the gym, so I'm looking forward to dunking on one of them. No, but, yeah, I mean, I stopped after my sophomore year, so I didn't really pursue it like that.
I'll say there was, you know, soccer was one of the sports I started playing back in middle school. Also, basketball is one of them, of course. I'm not really good anymore, though, so I would not be playing with Sterling, so I'm not. But I really committed to football probably around sophomore year of high school. Just really started going to camps and wanted to better myself as a football player. And I just always watched NFL games, watched the best corners out there just to, like, pick up stuff from them. So I'll say in high school.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Thanks. Mike, your side?
I'm Donnie from New Rochelle. Eli, this question is for you. How have you been adjusting to playing in the slot? I know you didn't really play so much in the slot in college. And how have you, DRC and Janoris Jenkins, been lining up in the three corner sets? Have you been in the slot? Janoris Jenkins in the slot, DRC in the slot.
Well, we've been changing it up, and playing in the slot is definitely something that you have to get adjusted to. And I think I'm doing better with it. Just communicating, knowing where your help is, and playing to your help. And then me, DRC, and Jenkins, we've been rotating a lot so everybody can have experience playing all positions at corner, because you never know what can happen during the season.
All right. Thank you.
Good question. Wow. Thank you. Final question comes from John's side.
This is for both of you. How do you feel when you put on a Giants jersey?
Great question.
Great question. The best question of the day for sure. Well, I guess I'll go first. I'll say I feel like a superhero a little bit, you know. I feel like I have superpowers, you know, so I'm looking forward to the season.
Yeah, I mean, get that G-Man power whenever you put it on. so, yeah, I haven't put it on yet. Well, actually, I got to put it on 2 weeks ago at the premiere, and it felt great. I can't wait to put it on and play in front of these great fans.
How about a round of applause for Eli Apple and Sterling Shepard, guys? Thanks, man. Thanks. They just leave him right there. And you know what? Just think about it, guys. How cool is this, right? You know, you come to an NFL team, like, you get to do a town hall in Madison Square Garden. It's not like some VFW somewhere. I mean, this is Madison Square Garden. Guys, thanks. All right, we've got veteran minicamp coming up this week, but as Coach mentioned, we have gone through the different phases of organized team activities, OTAs. What we want to do is take a look at the 2016 OTAs. So the first guy that we want to bring up here goes by the nickname of Snacks. But what he does is he gobbles up ball carriers. And he's been in this town, but now he knows what it's like to be on the side of town that wins Super Bowls. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Damon Harrison. What's up? In the offseason, the Giants obviously were busy in free agency, so they want not only to help stop things with the run game and get solid in the middle and add to Jonathan Hankins, but get that pass rush that Spags was talking about. And the Giants brought in one of the most explosive players in the National Football League. Breakout year last year with Miami, but now he's a member of your New York Football Giants. Please say hello to Olivier Vernon. What's up, Olivier? Good to see you. Well, we got defense. Now we got to go a little offense for you. And remember, you're going to get a chance to ask questions, but you know, we talked about opportunity and what training camp is and the OTAs. It's an opportunity for players to make a mark, whether they're drafted or whether they are invited to a workout and they catch somebody's eye. And this young man followed that path all the way to one of the most dominant seasons in the history of the New York Giants, which ended in a miraculous wild finish in Super Bowl 46. And he is ready to come back stronger and better than ever. Number 80, Victor Cruz. Hi, Victor. That's right, I forgot they were teammates. Deal seems to have been a teammate with everybody. Our other guest here this evening to talk with you and answer some of your questions. Not only did he take the NFL by storm as a rookie and recreated numbers, but then in year number two, he backed it up, he co-signed it, and now he's on pace to have some of the most prolific stats in the history of the NFL in their first 2 years of the league. I see a lot of number 13 jerseys out here. Odell Beckham Jr. All right, I'll start with the defensive guys.
Well, you gotta start. We wanted to make sure he fit in a chair getting up here.
Now, we're going to start with, I'll start with the defensive guys, the new guys. How's it been, the transition, you know, coming to a new organization? It's a life-change experience for both of you guys, going from one organization to another. What's the transition been like for you?
Well, for myself, it's been pretty easy because I've been in the New Jersey, New York area for about 4 years now. And the big thing for me was just, you know, getting to know everybody in the locker room and just finding my place in the locker room. But, you know, when you got guys like these guys on the stage and JPP and Jonathan Hankins, I mean, it made the transition seamless.
How about for you, Olivier, coming up from Miami?
You know, pretty much piggybacking what he's saying, you know, the guys in the locker room, they pretty much make it much comfortable, you know, to be around. But, you know, I'm not from up here, much bigger city, you know, and I heard it gets pretty cold, you know, come season time. But, you know, I'm just enjoying it right now.
You know, though, when you're playing in playoff games, as you will attest to and Victor will attest to, even when it's cold in MetLife Stadium, it feels warm when you're kicking people's butt. It doesn't feel
absolutely
cold. Right, Victor? Victor,
absolutely.
David, I'll let you go to the offensive guys. Go ahead.
Victor, obviously everybody is going to ask the first question. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very well. I ran some full speed routes today, feeling very, very good. So, Odell does that to me every day. He's like, "Yo, I'm so excited to hear Cruz in the stadium, man." but it's been a long journey. It's been a long road, and I'm excited just to be back wearing a Giants helmet, wearing some cleats, and running around playing football again.
All right, Odell, this is. Everybody asks you questions about, you know, how did you make that catch? What did you do to prepare during the off season? Did you get it from your mother? Who'd you get it from? My question for you is I've watched you practice. I've watched you prepare. You grind harder than anybody, but at the same time, you have a smile on your face doing it. What is it about the game and the football that you love?
I think we could all agree, just honestly blessed to be here and to be able to do this. This is something that, you know, we call our profession, but at the end of the day, we've been doing this since we were kids. It's something we love to do. And not everybody makes it to, you know, where we're at today. So I'm just very fortunate for the opportunity, for real. And just don't ever take a day lightly. You know, my dog just passed, and it's kind of something that it's kind of something that, like, I already knew, but time really is always of the essence. It's something that it waits for no one. So, you know, I don't like to waste any of my time. So this is truly something I get to do and enjoy. It's a lot of fun.
All right, we've got a lot of fans that are fired up to ask questions. So, John, we're going to start on your side.
Hi, I'm Jake from New York City, and I have a question for Odell. How did you manage to do that three-finger catch?
It honestly came with a lot of practice starting back at LSU. A good friend of mine, a brother of mine, Jarvis Landry, I think OV knows, another one of those guys who works hard, and it kind of took to our mentality during practice to go hard every rep as if it was a game rep. And then we started doing these drills. He was known for being able to make these phenomenal catches, and I had seen him. And it kind of inspired me to push myself to another level. And, you know, thankfully for that, practicing it over and over and over again, seeing that same ball, that same spin, it was almost like practice, and it just finally paid off.
Thanks for the question. All right, to Mike's side.
I'm Alyssa from North Arlington, New Jersey. My question is for my favorite receiver, Victor Cruz. Sorry, Odell. What's it like coming back from an injury? Like, are you pushing yourself harder, or are you trying to not get injured again?
That's a good question, and I'm sure a lot of people that comment in my Instagram want to know that question as well. I know some of you out there that comment in my Instagram. It's a balance, right? You have to feel yourself and feel your body as you're coming back. You have to understand what the training staff has in store for you, and what they want, what their plan is, and understand their plan
and try to match that up with your plan in your mind? Because there might be days where you come out and feel great and you want to run and you want to just be with the team, but you have to understand that there's a process. There's steps that you have to take in order to get there. So I definitely battle day in and day out with the training staff trying to, you know, loosen the reins up and let me go a little bit. But between them and this guy in my ear telling me to just calm down and take it one day at a time, it definitely helps.
Thank you very much. John side.
Hi, I'm John from Long Island. First of all, I want to say a big fan of all four of you. And I had a question for Snacks and Olivier. I just wanted to know how, if any way, the big contracts awarded to this offseason will change your mentality heading into the season.
We'll let him answer first. You put a lot of hard work in into your craft. I mean, I feel like all the outside influence, I mean, particularly for me, it doesn't faze me, you know. I think the reason I got to where I'm at right now, I stay true to myself. So, you know, furthermore, I just got to keep doing the same thing. And, you know, right now, my grind doesn't stop. You know I had plenty of people hit me up, you know, congratulating me and everything like that. Like, you know, it's a life-changing experience, but at the same time, it's like at the end of the day, it don't mean nothing if you come out there and, you know, you are not, you're brought in from somewhere to do a certain job and you don't do it. And, you know, I take a lot of pride in my last names on my back, you know, representing my family. So, you know, it's a big thing, be able to actually leave Miami, come up to the, you know, to the big city and represent my family. So, you know, I'm going to just do it to the fullest.
Texas. Damon?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
It's a hard act to follow. But, you know, similar to what he said, I personally came in this league undrafted. I worked for everything that I've gotten, and I'm very appreciative of everything. So I want to be great. It was nice to get the contract to be compensated for the hard work you put in. But at the end of the day, I want to be great. So the money is nice. It didn't change anything, but like you said, the bank account, that's it. But when I go out there on Sundays, man, I still want to dominate. And to do that, I have to go out every single day and approach it as if I'm still trying to make the team, which that's something that'll never leave me.
Giants fans should be very excited to have these two as members of the New York Giants. Watched both of their games for the entire season last year. If you want to watch a game on Snacks, pull up at Buffalo. And Olivier, you talk about Cameron Wake. He was hurt the entire season, and he was still producing, getting sacks, and making pressures.
Yeah. All right, we go to that side of the room. Mike's side.
My name's Harrison from Wyckoff, New Jersey. This is for Odell and Victor. What are you guys' expectations for the offense this year?
Our expectation is to be ourselves. I mean, we go out there and just play and use our God-given ability and do what we know how to do. We definitely feel like this offense can be as great as it possibly can be. And Odell and I talk about this all the time. We just want to, you know, have the opportunity to make it to the playoffs. And if anybody, you know, you guys have been around here, anytime the Big Blue makes it to the playoffs, we don't disappoint. So if we make it there, we'll be all right.
Kind of piggybacking off what he said, I talk to myself about it all the time. I'm a little crazy about it, but I truly believe that 51 is around the corner, and it's for ours to take. I felt like the past 2 years, you know, losing games by 3 points, coming up short is not an option really anymore. So everybody has to take it to a whole new level. You know, we brought in some guys right here who are going to be able to help us. We brought in a bunch of other guys, a bunch of pieces that it's just all got to come together at the right time. That's all it's about, is coming together at the right time.
Let's go to John's side.
Adam from Long Island. We're going to talk about Odell like he's not here. So from Bob's perspective, opponents, and Cruz being a teammate, what's it like to watch him? I mean, as a fan, you just laugh at how good he is. But what do you guys think? Like, it's just...
Remember, you're not here. You're not here.
I can start because I'm in the same room with the guy every day. I think it's just a You know, to watch him play, and to, I mean, the other day he was walking around and he was catching kickoff returns, and he caught one. He had one in his hand. Another one was coming, and it was just spiraling down. And I was looking like, he's got one in his hand. What's he about to do? So it's kind of low, and he just reaches down and plucks it out the almost off the blade of grass and picks it up with one hand. I'm like, you know what, coach? Is it the locker room's that way? I'm just going to – I don't think I need to play anymore. I'm just going to go ahead inside. But to see his talent and to be a part of it on a day on a day-to-day basis, I mean, I'm just truly honored to be able to witness a guy like this in his prime and not even in his prime yet. He's only year three, and he's just getting better and better day in and day out. So.
Well, I had the opportunity to lose to the Giants last year because of this guy. But, you know, I had a chance to, you know, pretty much play with his brother, you know, his best friend, you know, Jarvis Landry, and, you know, seeing his work ethic. And he's not a big guy, but he's a dog. You know, he works hard. He's going to drop his shoulder on you. And just how his approach in practice is just it's crazy work ethic. So coming over here, I see why they're brothers. You know, they put that work in, and you see it on TV, man. And you know, my perspective of when we played you guys down in Miami, man. You know, I didn't realize, you know, how good or how talented you were. You know, I don't think I even told you that, but. Man, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, I appreciate to be up here, and I appreciate to, you know, have both of you guys, you know, on the offense, because I know you guys will do your thing, put points on the board.
Oh, but, yeah, what you see on the field, you know, when you get a chance to be in the locker room with a guy like him, you know, you expect one thing, but it's total opposite. He brings that energy on and off the field. So if you're having a bad day or a down day, just look for Odell. He'll bring a smile to your face, man. And I didn't know. I thought he just danced on the field. He really dances, man. He really dances. It's an awesome feeling when you go in there and you watch it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's go to that side.
I'm William from Bergen County, New Jersey. Question for Olivier. You're obviously a beast. You've been on the other sideline. You've seen the Giants last year. Us Giants fans were all very frustrated with the defensive performance. Can I get a one-word assessment of the 2015 Giants and a one-word assessment for the 2016 Giants? What do you
wow.
Really putting me on the spot. Huh?
Be honest now.
Hey, that's two words.
One.
So you said the assessment of 2015?
That's right.
Great.
That's tough.
Can I help him? Can I help you?
No stalling.
You lost to him last year. Now you're part of him.
Yeah.
David's assessment of the Giants is they beat him. Now he's a part of him.
Yeah. I'm a part of you guys. So, I mean, I like to just say look for the future. You know, I just say determination. You know, I know these guys, this organization been down these past few years, and it's prestigious. You know, you guys meant to be put on the big stage. So, you know, I wanted to be a part of that, be put on a big stage and play on the big stage. You know, ain't nothing like it playing on the Big Apple. So, you know, I'd say determination. A lot of guys on this team right now are determined. You know, I've seen it since day one. You know, just having walkthroughs with the guys on the squad and just, you know, how their approach to the game of just the little things, you know, they take it serious. So, you know, I'm just glad to be a part of that.
Thank you. Go to that side.
Hey, what's up? Billy from Totowa. Vic, we love you. Love seeing you up there, man. Love to see you back on the field. Odell, I'll let someone else ask you about Chloe. I have a question for the defensive guys.
Bang, bang.
I wanted to congratulate the defensive guys. I know you came from the AFC East. Congratulations on coming to a team that knows how to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots.
He came out firing.
Yeah.
My question is for...
It's like a stand-up.
Snacks and Olivia.
There's going to be a midnight show, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm at the Cellar tonight at 10:30, actually. No, the question is, you guys came over from the Dolphins and the Jets. What do you notice differently about the Giants organization We're a proud fan base, obviously a proud organization. What do you guys see differently? You walk in the door, what's different about us?
Well, me personally, I don't want to get into too much of the comparisons, but, you know, different colors, red and blue. But but no, it's a different feel. You get a different feel from the fan base and everybody in the building, you know, as opposed to me being on the other side of town. But I'm going to stay away from the comparisons.
There's definitely a difference when you're walking by the trophy cases.
Yeah. Just to sum it up, I'm 51. I was 4 when the Jets won their only Super Bowl. And I was 8 when the Dolphins won their last Super Bowl. I was graduating college when the Giants won the first of their 4. So that should sum it up for you.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm Mike from Long Island. OV and Snacks, they can speak for everybody. I want to say we're happy that you guys are here. Odell, keep killing it. We know you well. And Vic, we're all behind you. Can't hope to get healthy real quick. My question is more for the offensive guys and maybe even David Deal too. From a fan's perspective, it seems like Eli's temperament's really unique. What's his leadership style like? And does he get you guys going? Are you guys all behind him 100%? What's that like playing with Eli Manning?
You want me to? Okay, I'll start. All right. You couldn't have picked a better quarterback with his mentality, the way that he carries himself in New York City. This is a tough place to play. The fans demand the very best out of you, and you demand the very best out of yourself because that's what being a part of the New York Giants is. It's not just about making the playoffs. It's about winning. And everybody's on board, and everybody's doing the same thing. When it comes to Eli Manning, there is nobody that prepares harder and has more diligence with the little details in order to succeed and have everybody else out on the football field succeed. For 11 straight seasons, we would come up to the line of scrimmage. We would do hots and sights with Coach Sullivan. And as us 5 offensive linemen, we would try to beat Eli to the audible or the check. And for 11 straight seasons, we were never able to beat him because he was so prepared. He was so ready, and he would see everything before us to check us and make sure that we were in the right spot.
Yeah, Odell and Victor, why don't you talk about Eli and what he's meant as a teammate?
I think kind of like what you said, he prepares. Unlike what the typical person just looking at Eli and some of his mannerisms and things that he does.
We've all seen the Eli face big posters. Come on, we've all seen it.
It's very much like that at some points in time, but at the same time, there's nobody who I've seen who really prepares like that on a day-to-day basis, whether it's for practice, whether we're trying to figure out how to scheme up things and not make things, you know, so much X and O and be above the X's and O's. The touchdown I scored against the Dolphins, he put in the audible that Sunday in the walkthrough before the game, just something I guess he just saw. And he called it a little, I don't want to tell you what it's called because I want to run it next year, but he put it in that same Sunday, and sure enough, it comes up in the game, and he looks over to me, and he gives the signal. And next thing I know, I'm running down the field by myself. So it's a lot of what he does that, you know, we're able to do what we do.
I think for me, it was one instance that stands out for me about what Eli means to this team. Obviously, his mind and his on-field mind and how he controls the offense, and he's been doing it for years. But it was one instance that, for me, that symbolized what he meant to us teammates. And it was during the Super Bowl, my second year in Indianapolis. He wanted to take us all out to eat. And we were walking down the street, and it was with the entire offensive line. It was the entire offense. He took the entire offense out to eat. And all the fans were kind of running up to him, and the entire deal, you remember this, the entire offensive line made a circle around him, and we walked right to the restaurant, nobody touched him. And I was like, yep, that's our quarterback, and that's the amount of respect that he has on his team, and that's the amount of respect we have for him, and that's why he's my guy.
I'm going to add one little thing to this. You know, Eli is not the yeller, the screamer. Obviously, everybody sees that he's different from Peyton. But the one thing that they will attest to He gives you the look. It's like your parent looking at you, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. And you just want to, it's the worst feeling in the world because you know that when he looks at you, that you were prepared and it was on you in order to get it done.
Absolutely.
And nobody's tougher because he took a beating in that San Francisco NFC Championship game.
He threw the ball 75 times against the number one defense in the NFL.
Go ahead.
We won.
Justin from Englewood is for Snacks. Going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, what do you think the difference is having another guy in the interior with you?
It's not that big of a difference that everybody makes it out to be. Of course, in the 3-4, you line up in the zero technique a lot of the times, but I want to say about 50-50 that I was lined up in the one technique, and it's the same. Football is football. I mean, my job is pretty much to, I don't know if I can.
Go ahead. Just say it.
Kick the guy's butt in front of me. And, whether it's a 3-4 or a 4-3, if I don't get that done, then I'm useless. But when you got guys like, you know, I'm used to playing with bigger guys, but when you got guys like Olivier Vernon and JPP and Jonathan Hankins off the edge, it makes the 4-3 that much better. So it's not that big of a difference. So it's yet to be seen how I perform in it full time, but me personally right now, no, I don't think it's a problem.
Welcome to the best team in New York.
All right, to Mike's side.
Yes, my name is Alex from Long Island, and this question is for Odell. Odell, how do you see yourself this year as being a mentor for someone like Sterling Shepard versus being a rookie?
It's something that, you know, I didn't ever want to embrace the role that I have as far as being a leader. Like, the leader, I'm not a very vocal. It may seem like I'm not a very vocal guy. I'm not a very rah-rah guy. I lead more by example, more by action. So for me, this is something new as well, to be able to step up and show a younger guy or teach him and be able to, you know, get someone else motivated and not just be there, you know, trying to play my role and do that to the best of my ability.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the question. John, you got the last one on that side.
Gene from the Meadowlands. I could walk to the stadium on Sunday, but that had cut into my tailgating time with my buddy Joe. So this question is for Victor and for Odell. With the coaching change, do you notice differences or changes in the practice and in the offense?
No. Honestly, it's the same kind of regimen. It's been the same kind of protocol. He still demands the same work ethic and technique and attention to detail that we have, you know, in the past 2 years when he was our offensive coordinator. So it's the same thing. And he carries the same temperament. He hasn't, you know, changed in any way since becoming head coach. He's still the same guy. He still, you know, talks to us individually while we're stretching and while we're going through our business. And even when we're in the rehab room, he's coming in, making sure we're okay, letting us know that his door's always open if he wants to talk about anything under the sun. So he's a guy that that, you know, we look to obviously lead our team, and nothing's changed as far as the practice and the protocol standpoint.
The Giants facility is still on TC time 5 minutes early.
Yeah, he's still got that locked in.
Well, it's time to wrap it up, but we want to get one more round of applause for the two new Giants, Damon Harrison, Olivier Vernon. Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr.